This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
One more real quick. Paul Wildcard 2, come on the line from Yuba City, California, and talk to us for just a minute, because that's about all we have.
Well, hey, thanks for having me on. The way I look at this is that basically, as the president, we have a hybrid. We have somebody who grew up with Frank Marshall Davis, who's a communist, and also with the anti-colonial edge, which is directly linked back to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is directly linked back to the Nazis. And what we have is somebody who's a national socialist. And you can see how he drives his agenda. Also, as the president, he has been linked directly to the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, if you take a look at Benghazi, which is now turning out to be nothing more than Fast and Furious on steroids over in Europe, you know, you've got a president here who's got a clear agenda. His behavior patterns, all the things that have been going on with all the school shootings, all that stuff fits the same thing as what you saw in Hitler's Germany. And he's basically using the same tactics that Hitler used to take over Germany. It's being applied here in the United States.
That's an interesting point. Thank you very much for the call, Paul.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know that you are listening to a show that talks about exceptional Americans, and naturally, you are exceptional Americans. Thank you for your listenership. We're very happy to have with us in this hour Trevor Loudon, good friend of the radio show. I met Trevor in CPAC. Last year, that was the Donald Trump year. That was the year, and I'm sure that Trevor will reaffirm, that all the Trump haters from Fox News and other places were just absolutely parading around CPAC. In fact, so much so that Trump decided not to show up at CPAC, which was kind of an interesting time. But I first interviewed Trevor there. He is the author of the book, which has basically become a Bible here at the Agenda 21 studio. It is called The Enemies Within, and of course, being in California, we are particularly keyed in on the communist in California. Quite frankly, looking at the rest of the states that he's got listed here, it's the largest contingent, including people like, Barbara Boxer, Karen Bass, Javier Becerra, and others. The list goes on. But, you know, the interesting thing about communism that has never really been touched upon until this book came out, and Trevor's absolutely incredible work that he's doing is the secrecy by which these organizations have sort of put themselves in local communities. Now, remember, in Agenda 21, their concept is to think globally and act locally. So this is the book right here that describes a lot of the interactions of the Communist Party in particular as to how they get into local politics. And Trevor, I want to say thank you very much for just a great book and, you know, doing such a great job to point out that communism is alive and well. And just because the wall fell, it doesn't mean that communism or totalitarianism went away.
Well, that's exactly right. And I draw the analogy of cancer, you know, and when the wall fell, you know, you had a major operation on communism and a lot of it was cut out. But if you have a cancer in your body and you cut 90% of it out and you do nothing for 15 years, what are you going to look like at the end of 15 years?
Exactly.
And it's going to metastasize. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be right through your body. We didn't end communism. We gave it a big body blow. But then we did nothing. There was no follow-up. There was just the pressure went off. So what do? They come back. They metastasize. And now they're far more entrenched than they were at that time.
Yeah, because they're acting locally. And, of course, this matches the 1992 Rio Accord or Agenda 21 declaration, June 1992, and I can vividly remember because I was in East Germany at the time researching the collapse of communism, and the notion that these communists just all of a sudden up and went away was absolutely blown out. We all knew that there was going to be a shape-shifting going on. They were taking a different tack. I interviewed Friedrich Mercurius at the Church of St. Nikolai, responsible for the Monday Masses. And the final question after a three-hour interview with him, the final question, I almost didn't even ask the question. It was the main reason I went there. One of the main questions I wanted to ask when I got there, and I was walking out the door, and I said, oh, by the way, I looked at him square in the face, and I said, where did all these communists go? And he looked at me and he said, oh, they all became environmentalists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was a huge part of it. And what they did under the mantle of the Green Movement is far more extensive and pervasive than they managed to do under the Red Banner. And now you have all through California, all through the United States, all through the Western world, you have Agenda 21 land use management policies. You have a clamp down on the use of cars. You have all these politically correct things that are endemic. And what are they if they are not socialism, if they're not communism? If you look at who's driving all of these things, it's the same people who used to drive the Red Movement. So, you know, we took our eye off the ball. We were overconfident and cocky. And the cancer has metastasized right through our local communities, and now we're looking at the consequences.
Yeah, it's very, very unsettling to see this, and that's why I say in my radio show, Stopping Totalitarian, One Exceptional American at a Time, I learned that from Friedrich, actually, and that's the way we have to do it because these people are so intertwined with our society, and the Green Movement goes in lockstep with radical Islam, doesn't it?
Well, it does. You know, what America see? So the communist movement has morphed. Now they don't talk about the old Marxist thing so much anymore. They don't talk about some great future utopian workers' paradise anymore. Basically, now the world communist movement is anything that wants to bring America down. Because America is the last standing impediment to world communism, the last standing thing. So Islam is part of the world communist movement. The Antifa is part of the world communist movement. Some of the Nazi groups are part of the world communist movement now. You know, the anti-Israel crowd, the environmental crowd, the anti-fracking crowd, the all of these people are intertwined with what we used to call the world communist movement. Now, they don't always use that name, but that's what they are. And they're basically working on every single front they can to destroy American sovereignty, weaken America at every opportunity, and bring this country to its knees. Because once they do that, then there is no opposition. Then there's nothing that stands in their way.
Yeah, that, and you know, one of the main things that stands in the way is the Constitution of the United States, isn't it?
It is. Well, it is the thing, you know. And that is the thing that every person who loves freedom around the world looks to the U.S. Constitution for guidance and encouragement, because that was the first political document ever to put rights as granted by God rather than by government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to put God at the top, then the people, and then the government. Every system before that had always been, you know, an elite claiming the endorsement of God and ruling over the masses. And that was why it was a revolution. It was a total reverse of world history. And ever since that time,
somehow we've apparently, right in mid-sentence, we lost Trevor. We're going to get back to him in a second. We got the music coming up anyway right now. So stay tuned for more of Trevor Loudon. We're going to get reconnected with him momentarily, but the music's coming up, so we're going to have a commercial break. So anyway, visit our website, agenda21radio.news. The article that he's written about Rob Bonta is up there. You can read it. We're going to get into that in the next segment. He's the California politician who wanted to legalize communism in California government. Just a couple weeks ago, he introduced it. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
On doing the U.S. one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Yep, we've got the Skype thing worked out with Trevor Loudon. He's back with us. And Trevor, it's the electronic gremlins, I suspect. We seem to always have trouble at certain times in the radio show. Yeah, but we've got it worked out. So we were talking about the worldwide communist movement, and it has not died out. It's gotten worse. It's metastasized. Now, in California, we've attracted quite a gaggle of communists. We've always had a lot of communists here, and you've written extensively about that. Rob Bonta shows up on the scene, and he introduces communism. Actually, what happened was he introduced a bill that was going to scrub out some of the language about whether or not you could be a communist and work for California government. Right now, it's forbidden. And he was going to clean up some language, sort of clean up, as they called it, and take out the exclusions for communism so that basically what it would legalize is communists in California government. That would be a first. But Rob Bonta is an interesting character and shows you he's a perfect poster child for this infiltration that you're talking about and how they're doing this sort of one person at a time business.
You know, Rob Bonta is a state assemblyman from the Bay Area. And the laws he were referring to didn't just ban members of the Communist Party, which is only a very small part of the communist movement now. It banned anybody who had advocated the violent overthrow of the U.S. Constitution or other governments. Now, what it turns out is that Rob Bonta's family, his mother specifically, she was a member of the Union of Democratic Filipinos, known by its Tagalog thing. It was the KDP. And that was a support network for the Philippines communist movement. And they also were very active in America, and they joined up with an organization called the Line of March, a very, very militant communist organization that was active in America through the 1980s. So these were hardcore communists. Many of their members had actually fought in the Philippines with the communist underground. Many of them had been jailed in the Philippines. taken part in battles, etc. And it turns out that Rob Bont, his mother, was involved in this, as it was a whole network of his friends. We're talking dozens and dozens of people, and many of them hold positions in the California government. You know, in San Francisco and Los Angeles, on the Human Rights Commission in Los Angeles, etc. And so what Rob Bonta was doing was basically protecting this network, because these are hardcore communists holding positions in the California government, all very close to Rob Bonta. And so this wasn't about cleaning up language. This was protecting his and other communist networks that are operating very, very deeply entrenched in the California government. Now, that law hasn't been applied for decades. So why did Bonta bring it out now? Well, I think because people are waking up to communism, and people are understanding that what's happening in America, and particularly California, is communism, and he wanted to make sure that his friends were protected in case of crisis. And that's what he's done. And he thankfully he had to withdraw the bill because of pressure from some Vietnamese anti-communists. But Rob Bonta is completely embroiled in a massive communist network, and he was trying to protect his comrades.
And what you're referring to was when this was brought out, I don't know if it was this or another thing that prompted the Janet Nguyen situation that happened with her. It said in your article that you put out in May, anti-communist California State Assemblywoman Janet Nguyen pushed back hard against Assembly colleague San Francisco Democrat Rob Bonta's Assembly Bill 22. And that's when they took her off the floor, isn't it?
No, that was another incident.
There was another incident.
But yeah. She's pretty militant.
Yeah, she is, and God bless her, because she's raised awareness. Because, you know, I'm very, very familiar and very friendly with the Vietnamese community down in Southern California, Little Saigon, and all that stuff. I've had a lot of work with and experience with them, and I know how vehement they are. Especially when you go out and have drinks and so on with some of these people who survived the boats. That's a whole different ball game. They're very, very anti-communist, thank goodness. So this awareness about communism, one of the things I noticed about this bill, and I think I talked about this to you at one other point, but Agenda 21 Radio, the show that we did before that was called the Inside Education Show, and I believe it was in 2007 or 8, a Lowenthal from Long Beach introduced a bill that was similar, but it wasn't about government hirings. It was a bill that would allow communists to meet in school facilities and in public places, government buildings, you know, for reasons of discussions and meetings, because we still have that exclusion where if you're communist or you're trying to overthrow the government, that language is still within all these bills. And this Lowenthal, I think you know his name.
Alan Lowenthal.
Lowenthal, right. It was interesting how that all played out, because I got, you know, a call. I was deeply involved in school administration and everything at that point in time. And I got a call from somebody in the Senate, I believe it was the Senate, and said, this bill's coming forward. What do you think about that? I said, well, I'll talk about it on the radio. And we put out this campaign about stop Lowenthal, the bill, and all that stuff. And lo and behold, I guess he got really, really sensitive about it and withdrew the bill. And that was back, what, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, but he's since passed a bill when he was in Congress, which I believe did. No, he passed a later bill that allowed communist teachers to maintain their jobs. And he did get that through. And Lowenthal was in Cuba in 1985 at a psychological conference there, which basically was all about Cuban psychology. And he came away from that thinking what they did in Cuba was pretty good for America. So, you know, these people don't introduce these bills because they're concerned about civil liberties and they think it's archaic. They introduce these bills because this is who they are. These right. are their friends. These are people are part of the communist movement. I'll say quite unequivocally that Rob Bonta and Alan Lowenthal are part of the communist movement, and that is why they introduced these bills, to make it easier for communists to operate.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't rocket science here. Both of these individuals have extensive communist backgrounds, particularly Bonta, and that's why they do this stuff. And you know, look, if you look at California, you know, you have got some of the most restrictive policies in the country. You know, under Jerry Brown, things have gone into overdrive. And this is a communist agenda. People got to realize this isn't just a bunch of liberal Democrats. These are communists. They took over your Californian labor movement under Maria Elena Durazzo and her husband. And once they took over the labor movement, they effectively took over the California Democratic Party. And they used the illegal immigrants to create a permanent governing majority for themselves. And now you can't get rid of them. And they are just going crazy, implementing every socialist dream they can. And their plan is to do this across the nation. So where California goes, so does America go if we don't stop this.
Well, this is the thing, and that's what I've been telling people. You're saying exactly what I've been telling people. We have to stop this because, you know, we don't want to spread this around the rest of the nation and be, you know, I call it the Californication of the nation. And Jerry Brown's right in the thick of this. He is the guy who's the main player, who's driving this communist agenda. He's always been a left-wing, you know, loon, if you will. Now he's not so much a loon as he is a lunatic. I mean, he is now really, as some people say, and Katie Grimes and other people in government say, really what we have is a guy who's completely unhinged. Anyway, we got the music coming up. More of Trevor Loud when we come back. Fascinating discussion here, ladies and gentlemen. It's the future of California, and we want to stop it. We have to. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
We will face challenges. We will confront hardships. But we will get the job done.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Trevor Loudon. We're talking about the communists in California. And in particular, as a touchstone for all this, is Rob Bonta, who wants to legalize communists in California government and has a Maoist family background. And we're learning a lot about this penetration that's going on. I want to know a little bit more about Mr. Bonta becoming from, you know, the Philippines and so on. It's kind of interesting, and I want to correct the record that about Janet Nguyen. She's a state senator. She's the first Vietnamese senator to be in any governance situation in the state or federal agency at all. And she was in defiance of so-called floor rules of the Senate. And Kevin De Leon, another Marxist right there, who's Senate pro tem of all things, he followed the other Marxist speaker, Daryl Steinberg, Senate pro tem, who I've met personally and had dinners and lunches with. Anyway, and boy, is he a Marxist. But the situation was she was thrown off the Senate floor by De Leon because she was reading a statement against Senator Pat Hayden. And Hayden, at the time, was being honored. He's dead now. He was being honored. And she was reading a statement, and they ushered her off the floor. And it was very, very sad day in American history to see that. And, of course, De Leon suffered the political consequences of that. That's what happened to Janet Nguyen, and I think it was a big slap in the face. But it drew attention, Trevor, to this whole situation you're talking about.
Yeah. Look, see, Tom Hayden was, you know, a big deal in California politics. He was a complete Marxist and is regarded as a hero and a founder of the movement by the Marxists in your California state legislature. Who are the dominant bloc? So they were not going to have any bad mouthing of Tom Hayden.
Right.
You know, Janet Nguyen was pointing out that Hayden was basically backing the North Vietnamese communists, you know, while American soldiers were fighting and dying dying against the communists in Vietnam. Hayden was a traitor, yet he's regarded as a hero by many of your California Democrats.
Right.
really a spearhead of their movement and the takeover of the California Democratic Party.
Well, you know what's really interesting, and a little side note to history, Chris Street and I were whistleblowers in the 1994 Orange County bankruptcy, and there was a Senate investigation of that, and I helped the Senate of California, or encouraged them to look in certain places, and I actually had a meeting, a couple of them with his staff and him, and I was astounded, and this is an interesting thing to understand. He was so angry about the money handling and how these people handled their money in Orange County. I couldn't believe it. He was acting like a conservative, and I was astounded at that. But, you know, I think it's kind of interesting. Here he was complaining about a communist movement takeover of the Orange County Republicans, basically, a Cloud-and-Piven strategy by ultimately known now to be a Clinton-Cloud-and-Piven strategy. But he was pounding on the table against it. So it's kind of an interesting situation looking back at it historically now. Because you're right. He was absolutely the tip of the spear for the communist movement coming forward in California. Now here it is.
Yep. It's and God bless Janet Nguyen for standing up against that. But see, Americans have to, have to understand that this is communist. This isn't just liberals. This isn't just socialists. These are people who are dyed-in-the-wool, Marxist, socialist, communist. Like, Rob Bonta, one of his main endorsers, was former head of the California, I think it was the Assembly, it might have been the Senate, actually, Wilma Chan. Mm-hmm. And I think she was Assembly, actually. Now she's an Alameda city councilor or something like that, an Alameda county supervisor. But she was a leader of the League of Revolutionary Struggle. This was a Maoist group that cooperated with Rob Bonta's Maoist group back in the 80s. So, they are like a mafia. They endorse each other. They support each other. They give each other jobs. They put each other into power. And that's what's happened, particularly in Northern California in the Bay Area. The whole area is run by former Maoists. Gene Kwan, the former mayor of Oakland, was a leader of the Communist Workers' Party. You've got the Ma brothers, who are very, very active in San Francisco politics. You've got Jane Kim, who stood for California State Senate and just lost, another former Maoist. So you've got all these Maoists basically running San Francisco, which is why the Chinese are making major inroads there. And you've got a similar situation in Los Angeles, but that's more a mixture of Maoists and mainstream communists and so-called democratic socialists. But both of California's main cities are run by Marxists. San Diego is sort of in the balance, and Sacramento is pretty much run by Marxists. So all the main centers are effectively run by Maoists, by communists and Maoists. And that is why you've got the crazy, out-of-control policies that you have. And this is not going to go away. These people are not going to be appeased. There's nothing too crazy for them to put on the agenda because they think they have complete power now. They have a complete Democratic majority, an unassailable voting base thanks to illegal immigrants, and they're exploiting it.
Well, that is just so self-evident. Now, the thing about the Bonta situation and the others that you've mentioned is that these, especially if you talk about the Maoists, these are real revolutionaries who like to do real violence to get their way.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why you see, when in the election, when you saw Trump supporters being beaten up in San Jose, and the police standing by, because their city government had told them to do nothing. This is, in the same situation in Berkeley, this is the result of communist governments. They are Marxist governments. They have their street thugs to intimidate their opposition, and the police are under their control. So basically, you stand up against these people, you're risking violence, and that's how they work.
So, we've been watching this ramping up. It's almost like they're boiling us slowly, of course, as frogs in water. And we've been watching this ramp up. Now, we were made aware, and I've been watching La Raza, who's another communist organization.
Absolutely.
And they're on the violent end of things, and there have actually been meetings that we've been aware of, and we've talked to people who've been in the meetings, actually, who are alarmed and do not want this to happen, but they're preparing to actually go to a violence level to actually seize power in California and steal California away. This is their plan. Of course, you've heard about the Reconquista movement. I've had to deal with that for 40-some years. And this is what they're trying to do right now. They're prepared to do that. They actually had several meetings, apparently, to discuss this when the Obama administration was still in play. This is back in November, December. And with members of the Obama administration present in these meetings where there's actual discussion about revolution, violence, and as I've been told so many times by La Raza folks, to get you Caucasians, get you Europeans out of our country, California and in the Southwest. And they want to kill you. I mean, they'll tell you unequivocally that killing you is okay and it's justified.
Absolutely, because, you invaded their country, so they say. This is their logic. You invaded their country and you took it away from, Aztlan, which is basically, this is southern Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, all the way through to Texas. That's all Mexican country, they say.
Yeah.
And Maria Elena Durazzo, who was head of the California AFL-CIO, was a big part of that.
Can you hang on 1 second? We've got the music coming up, and I want to get back to that Maria story, because I think it's very, very relevant, very salient to what we're talking about here, because it shows a big growth in this activity. So stay with us. More to come here with Trevor Loudon on Agenda 21 Radio. Visit our website, agenda21radio.news, and you can see the article. We have the article posted up from Trevor Loudon. Rob Bonta wanted to legalize communist in California government. We'll be right back.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Trevor Loudon, author of the book, The Enemies Within. Great friend of the show, and we're really happy to have him here with us talking about the communist in California, which is, of course, one of the things we talk about extensively on this radio show because of the leadership effect that California has on the rest of the nation. They're finding their ways and infiltrating their ways all throughout the government system. And you're talking about Maria. I didn't get the last name of Maria.
Maria Elena Durazzo.
Durazzo, that's it.
Who was the head of the California AFL-CIO for many years. And her husband was the head before that.
Now, it's interesting because I go back to 1994 and the Orange County bankruptcy and what a disruption that was in the Republican Party. And everybody now looks at it as a Cloud and Piven strategy that was designed to bring down the Republican Party and build a great power base for Hispanics, in particular Mexicans that were in Orange County and Southern California, and also in the Inland Empire. Now, you were telling me something that's quite fascinating, I think, when we were in Washington, D.C., that it was at that point in time that really all the big unions, governmental unions, started to get flush with cash and build as unions in California.
Yeah, well, see, that period of the 90s, the Maria Elena Durazzo, her husband, her late husband before her, Cardenas, were heading the AFL-CIO. And what they did, they were behind the massive union-driven and union-paid-for Latino voter registration drives that signed up hundreds of thousands of illegals and non-voting Latinos to vote in that period. And that's how they flipped Orange County, parts of Orange County. That's
right.
Where it started. That's where B1 Bob Dornan around Santa
right.
Ana there was the real conservative guy. And you got to remember, Orange County was once the most conservative county in the
mm-hmm,
entire country.
Mm-hmm.
So they got Loretta Sanchez into power. The communists came in there. They did a whole lot of fraudulent voting. They signed up tens of thousands of illegals and Latino non-voters, and they just flipped that. They just beat Bob Dornan and got Loretta Sanchez into power. And that was the starting point. Then they used that illegal immigrant power to basically, you know, turn California from a reddish, purplish state to solidly blue. And it was all done by Maria Elena Durazzo and her Marxist friends.
That was done.
Including Antonio Villagarosa and Gil Cedillo, who is a Marxist, who is the head of the California State Senate, and is the man behind the recent move to give illegals driver's licenses so they could vote even more easily. It's all about the numbers. The illegal immigrants have been used to turn California into a socialist state.
And that all started in the mid-90s.
Yeah, that really got underway. It went back into the 50s with Bert Corona, who was a Communist Party member and a Democrat. He set up the Viva Kennedy Clubs. That was the first organized effort back in the 60s to bring Latinos into the Democratic Party. But it is a long-term communist program to flip California. And because, you know, if you think about it, California is the most populous state in the whole country. It has a whole bunch of congressmen, and it has a whole bunch of electoral college votes. That's very helpful to the Democrats when it comes to a presidential election. And what the whole Arraza thing is about and the whole voter registration thing is about is the next targets are North Carolina and Georgia and Texas. And if they can flip Georgia and Texas, which are very vulnerable, Texas is far more vulnerable than you'd think.
Yeah,
if
I agree.
They can flip those, there will never be another Republican president in this country ever. It's gone.
Well, they've done that in California with the governors.
They want to do what they've done to California nationwide.
And that part of that,
one-party state.
Part of that one-party state is the way the Republicans have been taken over by internal people that have corrupted the California Republican Party and pretty much destroyed it.
Yeah, like Munger and those
people. Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. They get rid of the conservatives. They turn the Republican Party into Democrat light and destroy any chances of winning. So California conservatives have to understand they are facing a complete meltdown of the state unless something is done real quickly to turn this around. And it ain't going to be easy, but you got to start fighting. You've got to ignore the Republican Party hierarchy, the Mungers and other assorted rat bags.
Brulte, Jim Brulte.
Those sort of people, and start getting behind conservatives like Tim Donnelly and others to really start making some headway, because we're depending on you, California. You know, this California is the most beautiful state in the country. We can't see it slip away like this.
Well, one of the things that's really hurt the Democratic Party and really devastated Jerry Brown is the Oroville Dam situation. And obviously, and of course, what we're finding out about that and all the things that happened in the night, the decisions were made to evacuate, all the things leading up and then afterwards. And it's been a horror story that's just getting worse and will get worse for Jerry Brown, because he almost wiped out 200,000 people that night because of his neglect. And if it hadn't have been for a smart acting sheriff, that would have happened.
Well, exactly, you know, but. You look at the environmental agenda under Jerry Brown and what it's done to California, your economy, you know, the farming out in the Central Valley, etc. You know, farms just wiped out for the sake of some Delta smelt. Well, you know, it's not the Delta smelt. They don't care about the Delta smelt. They want to shut down the California economy, because California's economy is a driving force for the nation. This, you know, David Horowitz has got a great saying: the issue is never the issue, the issue is always the revolution. They want to take all the dams off the rivers if they can, so they're neglecting them. They would probably, you know, and this sounds horribly cynical, but they probably wouldn't mind a dam collapsing here or there, because, yeah, sure, it would wipe out a few thousand people, but, you know, think of what it would do to drive the environmental movement
and
how you could, you know, you could rip all the dams out then and shut down all the industry. Wouldn't that be just fantastic? Because these people are anti-capitalist to the core. They're anti-development, and ultimately they're anti-people.
Well, you know what?
They hate people being the guardians of nature. They're just that sick in the head.
Well, you know, one of the things Jerry Brown's into is tearing down dams. He's an advocate for tearing down dams. He's actually passed Prop 1, got that through. I mean, obviously a lot of hucksterism and voter fraud going on there. And he got Prop 1 through. They took $250 million and allocated that to breach dams along the Klamath. Breach them. Now, that means to blow them up and forget about the environmental concerns, because there's a lot of cleanup if you're going to take a dam down. But just breach them. He hires Bruce Babbitt, who Bruce Babbitt worked side by side with John Podesta in the Clinton administration to come up with the Taking Down Dams program all throughout the nation. And they've got a private foundation out there, the Save the Rivers Foundation or something like that. And they've been advocating this tearing down dams and blowing them up and so on, where they've been successful in Western states to actually get that done. And what you mentioned earlier is Brown has neglected, and these dams are going to fail, and have many of them almost have actually failed throughout California, failed as a result of the neglect where they haven't been taken care of. And they've used all that money for nothing more than the social programs of the illegal aliens.
Well, exactly right. You know, there's no, you know, this, there is nothing off the agenda here. You know, the extreme environmental movement actually wants to depopulate the earth. They say that in their own manifestos, in their own publications. They want it. Their ideal world is where there's about a tenth of the world's population still existing. They all live in little communes. They bike to work every morning into their little co-op. They eat mung beans for breakfast. And they're good little servants of the state. You know, that's the ideal communist world for these people. And the world under those circumstances could not support the population it does now. Without the infrastructure, without the technology, without the things that man has done to improve his lot over the last 100 years, the population would have to go down dramatically. So that's why I say these people are anti-life. They're anti-human. And it manifests in things like, as you say, you know, in Idaho, they've reintroduced wolves. You know, it took them 100 years to eradicate wolves up there. So now they reintroduce them, and now they're devastating the elk herds. They're putting people in danger. They're spreading into Oregon. But that's all right. That's okay, because people shouldn't be there anyway.
That's right.
You know, they're doing the best they possibly can to eradicate ranching in the West. You know, the environmentalists had slogans back in the 90s like no moo by 92, you know. These radical environmentalists are now populating the Bureau of Land Management, and they are driving people as much as they can off the lands in the Western states, because what people shouldn't be on those lands. These should be just turned over to nature, you know. Nature and the Chinese. So there's no, you know, it all sounds very fanciful and exaggerated, but if you look at California today and the policies that Jerry Brown is enacting, you know, the anti-car use policies, etc., you know, if you'd said that was going to happen in California 15 years ago, people would have laughed themselves silly.
Right.
Well, now it's here. Now it's real. And this is just round one. So you can laugh all you like, but you can see it happening before your eyes. And these people aren't going to reach a certain point, then return to common sense. They're just going to keep driving their agenda until there is no California economy.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Crashing down.
Well, because, you see, California, you mentioned it's the most populous state in the nation. It's the most innovative. It's a driver of the economy. Take this down, and you'll take all that away. And if they took out the Oroville Dam, they would have lost 1 million people in probably a course of about 5 hours. They would have lost all the land production, for food that goes into this area. Second or third largest rice producing area of the world. Imagine the famine that would develop because of the lack of production of rice here. Anyway, Trevor, we're running up against the clock. Thank you very much. Tell us how we can get a hold of you.
Yeah, look, go to my daily blog, trevorloudon.com. Loudon is L-O-U-D-O-N-D-O-N. Also, go to enemieswithinmovie.com. That's our online movie about the Marxists and Muslim Brotherhood sympathizers and your Congress and your Senate. enemieswithinmovie.com. And but just follow my daily blog, trevorloudon.com, and see what else I have on Rob Bonta, which is coming up soon.
Awesome. Listen, thank you very much, Trevor, for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio.
My pleasure. Great to be on, Paul, anytime.
Thank you. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And as I say at the end of the show, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
A well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. At Shooter's Paradise, we support and supply that right. Shop online at either shootersparadiseonline.us or theshootingstore.com to see our huge inventory and great prices. That's shootersparadiseonline.us or theshootingstore.com and enter the zip code 95993 to shop with Shooter's Paradise.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.